give up the fight. We must be like Moses. We've got to keep on trying. Canaan land is just inside.
There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey flowing, that is where I'm going. Canaan land is just inside. There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey flowing, that is where I'm going. Canaan land is just inside. Canaan land is just inside.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Thursday night Bible teaching night, and we're into the book of Revelation, chapter 15, but I might be jumping around. I might between 14, 15, and 16 here. But what I'm interested in teaching tonight is the second half of the tribulation, from mid-tribulation to the second half. And it's not quite like the first half at all. So it's very interesting when you look at them, compare the two. So we'll have an interesting time in the book of Revelation. And this here is what I'm going to be presenting next Wednesday at my church there. Will be basically what I'm teaching tonight. But I'm going to rearrange it in a different sequence. But basically, it's going to be this. So with that background, let's go over and take a look to see who is with me. And the first one there is Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon, did you mute your phone again? Huh?
Yep, I muted me. Okay, can you hear me now?
No, I can't hear you.
Well, you just heard me say that.
I'm giving you a hard time. I'm giving you a hard
you
time.
You didn't trick me.
I'm giving you a hard
time. But it didn't work. And, oh, that's funny. That's funny. I'm not going to even be able to have a conversation with you right now. That's too funny.
I'm scolding you. I'm in the process of scolding you, and you're laughing at my scolding. Because I've told you, don't mute yourself anymore. I'll do it.
Yeah, I know it. And, oh, boy. It's a, that's a good one. But anyway, now, I am looking forward to this.
Okay.
Really. And,
all right.
And knowing that you're teaching it to us now in preparation for what you're going to be doing. That always makes me happy because I know that we'll all get a good dose of this.
A good dose. You don't get leftovers, Sister Sharon.
No leftovers here.
You get fresh.
Thank you.
Now, I want to know, have you been hanging out in the house of dank recreational cannabis?
Oh, my gosh.
Because here in the Uber conference room, you know, images come up of, it's like a little map comes up of where you're calling from. So I have your town, and I know we've gone through this already, but we have your town, Ypsilanti, and then right next to it, it says House of Dank Recreational Cannabis. Yes. Oh, this is too funny.
Oh, you just are—you are just having yourself a real good time today.
Yes, at your expense.
It's nice to hear you laugh, Chaplain Don.
Oh, good, good. Now, Sister Kathy, if you live near the House of Dank Recreational Cannabis, would you move? Would you stay there?
I would, or I'd get my address changed.
Oh, that's terrible.
Dank is dank anything.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now you live close to U.S. Hair, too.
Yes, I do. U.S. H-A-I-R land, Hair land.
All right.
Well, now, I say close. It's a mile and a half, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now they could. Gigi and Randy are in hiding. They're not releasing where they some special.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
Well, but your icon doesn't say where y'all are from or what you're near.
Right.
I can tell you what we're near.
Okay.
We are at Kroger's.
No, we are near the Sonoran Desert Museum.
That's wonderful.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Nothing to be ashamed of there, huh, chap?
Mm-hmm.
No. Now, the best of them all is Sister Rita.
The best of what?
You come up next to a Walmart Supercenter.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, okay. I do. Well, I'm 15 minutes from that.
Okay. All right.
So
we have.
Well, hello, Captain John, and hello to everyone.
Yes, hello. All right, so we've had some fun today getting started, and it was too much. Sharon was really laughing there. She said, "Do you hear me?" And I said, "No, I don't."
She didn't fall for it.
Oh my goodness. Someday we should really go over that map because it'd be really.
I do want to say I found the House of Dank Recreational Cannabis on the map.
You looked it up.
Yeah, I did. But it would be better if they would list it as the Automotive Heritage Museum because she's closer to that.
Okay. But what
that
a name.
That would be awesome, too.
What a name. House of Dank Recreational Cannabis.
I know. I got to look up the word dank because
dungy, moldy, creepy,
stinky
cellar. Dank. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dank is always has... humid, moldy, smelly,
wet.
Yeah.
Ooh. Moisture.
It just sounds nasty.
It does. It's, yes.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
But you're not that every night, Sharon. Sometimes you're Ypsilanti.
Ypsilanti, yeah. I like being Ypsilanti.
Mm-hmm. But that was compared to Dank, yeah.
Right, that guy was the general or somebody who founded Ypsilanti.
I'm trying to get Karen out of trouble.
Okay.
Okay, right. Because dank marijuana is the highest grade of marijuana. It has nothing to do with the word dank.
Well, that gets her out. She's out of dank.
High quality. So she lives near a high quality cannabis place.
No. Dank is dank, whether it's marijuana or not.
Dank by any other name is still the same.
It's still the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's very, very interesting. You're going to caused me to have to, I'm not driving down there to see the place. No,
Oh, man.
I mean, it's not that far, really. But it's, no, bad neighborhood.
Okay. And stay away.
With a name like that, it's good to stay away.
Well, on a high subject, can I share something right quick before you teach?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, today, Dorothy and I went on a prayer drive, and she had said, she had asked about a member of the Thursday group. She said, have you heard from Edna lately? And I said, no, not lately. And she said, well, I called her, and she usually returns my call. But I said, my goodness, she may be in the hospital. So I called her while we were right there. And she answered, and we were just talking, and it was great to know she just was busy during the season. She said, I had two cousins to die, and she said a granddaughter graduated from college and blah, blah, and one other thing. And so I'm like, my goodness. And as we were talking, she said something, and I said, your cousin lived in Texas? And she said, yeah. I said, Houston? And she said, well, Dallas or somewhere like that. And I'm like, what was his name? And she said, Arthur Lee. And I said,
wow.
Edna, your cousin is not Arthur Lee Sims, is it? And she said, yeah. So and I knew Rita would just not believe that somebody she's been praying for his family all this time, has a cousin in our Thursday group.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. It's a small world, like they say.
I mean, it is just, I mean, it got so, but here's, I never could believe that he would run a stop sign. And if he did that, if it, you know, she said she, and I didn't tell her anything, but she said, yeah, what happened was they were picking up big limbs off the side and putting them in a truck with this long arm, like a crane kind of thing. And it came off, and she said it hit him and he didn't even know. He was just instantly killed. So I believe that more than he ran a stop sign.
Well, Sister Kathy, yeah. You know, I mean, it is possible to run a stop sign and not know you're doing it. He's in a strange area.
Oh, yeah, he didn't do it on purpose if
right,
he did.
Right, that's what I mean, you know.
But so. I'm just saying, I don't believe a truck would. Anyway, I prefer Edna's version. So.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But, I mean, you could be in a strange area, and there's a truck parked at the intersection, and you don't see the stop sign, and you know, you're just driving along, or you're talking to someone and got distracted. I mean,
yeah. My thought though was, if it was going fast enough to kill him instantly, it just was a strange scenario, but. That was just totally, absolutely amazing to me, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But only the family called him Arthur. He had some sort of a nickname or a second.
Well, Lee. Lee is
Lee.
What.
Right, right.
Lee is what right. Mike called him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, everybody called him Lee except his immediate family.
Yeah.
They called him Arthur.
And that's why. Mm-hmm. If I hadn't have seen the obituary, I wouldn't have even thought about Arthur Lee. You know, I wouldn't have known that if it hadn't have been put there. But, and I told her that the mayor of Douglas, Georgia, was there and to pay the respects, and she just thought that was wonderful.
Yeah, someone from Tennessee had been there also, some politician from Tennessee. But he didn't. He went to the viewing, not to the funeral.
Mhm. Well, he left Georgia and went to Texas. So, that was amazing. An effort.
Okay. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your word. I thank you for this opportunity to pray, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity to study your word. And Lord, there's great power in your word. Your word does not return void. So I thank you, thank you, thank you now, Lord. We praise you and thank you. I ask for a blessed time here. And whatever we do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant, which you made with us in Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, what I'm going to do is I want to open up with Revelation chapter 14, a couple verses from Revelation chapter 14, and then go into 15. And I'll, in fact, let me get my Bible there to this area, because I want to read some scriptures that I don't have set up to for it in Revelation 14. All right, I'm in Revelation 14. Here we go. Now, when we get to Revelation 14, well, first of all, I got to move it over so you can see it. There we go. Now, the book of Revelation, the foundation for the structure of the book of Revelation is in the prophet Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, about the final fulfillment of prophecy, the last 7 years of prophecy before the second coming of the Lord. And the key to it, it's really important, because it's highlighted in Daniel and also in the book of Revelation, is 3.5 years. Certain big time events happen right at that marker, 3.5 years. So Revelation chapter 14 tells us exactly at 3.5 years something is going to happen. And it has to do about the Antichrist coming to power for 3.5 years. You'll see that that's in Revelation chapter 13. For 42 months, he's going to have absolute power over the earth. And so there's a switch in dynamics during the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years, it's ruled by the political and economic and the religious system, and it's called the Whore of Babylon. The Whore of Babylon rides the beast. You know, it sounds like some nasty movie. But what it is, the whore is the religious system, and the beast is the political system. And the beast and the man of sin, the Antichrist, all mean the same. So for 3.5 years, the religious system is ruling the world, and we know that it's horrible what it does. It in fact, Revelation 13:6 says that the whore is drunk with the blood of the martyrs and of the saints, and the blood of the saints. And I'll probably get a little bit more into that as we go on into this. So for 3.5 years, there is this absolute blood-soaking, blood-letting killing of God's people that will not worship the beast. At the end of that 3.5 year period, God puts it in the heart for the political system to judge the religious system, the beast, which it does. And then right at that 3.5 year period of time, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the beast, all the political power on earth aligns with him, and he's given all power. He's like Caesar or Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, being worshipped. And they're going to worship him on earth. Now, remember, the religious system is gone. The political system gives all its power to the beast, to the Antichrist. And now we get into Revelation 14, verse 6. The beast is about to implement what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is open to a lot of speculation. I have my own ideas about it. A lot of people have their own ideas about it. It's not clear yet what it is, but it's a mark in the skin that can be seen, like a tattoo. Now, I believe it's going to be more than a tattoo. The high tech that we see now, things that can be done with high tech that can identify everybody on Earth live. And that's what's coming into play now. But so let's look at Revelation 14, because God in his mercy is going to warn everybody on earth, everyone, not to take the mark of the beast. That's how merciful God is. So let's take a look now at Revelation 14. And I give a little lead into it here, which I should really maybe say it. The three angels and their messages all about the mark of the beast. Heaven is silent afterwards. Now, in the first half of the tribulation period, you've got God's two prophets prophesying, and you have 144,000 Jews ordained to sealed, that's the word, sealed to preach the gospel all throughout the world. So Revelation 15 and 16 are the final seven bowls of God's wrath, final judgments. And that's all there is, folks. It's not like you got the two prophets and the 144,000 in the first half. In the second half, there is no witness. The witness is right now, which we're going to, these three angels, all the witness before the mark of the beast is implemented. And whoever doesn't take the mark is going to be killed. So this is, let's take a look now what the three angels have to say. So we look at the first angel. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having, now look at this, the everlasting gospel. This is a angel. This is a spiritual being angel, fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, about him dying for our sin and shedding his blood and being raised from the dead, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. And to, now look at this, to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. The whole earth is going to hear this message. Everyone, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So the message here is being pointed out that God is the creator. He's made everything, heaven, earth, sea, and the waters, the rivers and lakes and all. And they're and along with that, they're preaching the everlasting gospel. They're saying, repent, turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He shed his blood to pay the penalty for your sin. And then they're adding to it, fear God and give him glory, because the judgment has come. They're being warned of the judgment to come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of water. Now, we can't read over that. It has to sink in that the whole earth is being warned. Now, the interesting thing about this is during the tribulation period, there are going to be people that go through all 7 years. They escape the bloodshed of the beast, the whore of Babylon, and here they escape not taking the 666, the mark of the beast, because if you don't take the mark, you're going to kill, you're to be killed, and they will be alive at the second coming of the Lord. It's going to be a small number, but they're going to be alive. But putting them aside, the message here in, by the first angel is directed to those that had worshipped the beast. I mean, excuse me, had worshipped the whore. These were pagans. The religion of the tribulation period is going to be paganism. So think of this. This is amazing. The message to every kindred, tongue, people, and nation is to the vast, vast majority of those who have worshipped the whore of Babylon with the paganism. They may even have participated in directly or indirectly murdering God's people. And before the mark of the beast is implemented, I mean, it's just going to be implemented right like now, God warns them, don't take it. That is, look at the mercy of God in this. It would be easy from our perspective to say, hey, these are the ones that killed the saints. They killed the saints and the martyrs and the prophets, and they were cursing God and all. Let them receive the mark and go into the lake of fire. God is so merciful, he gives them an out, a warning. And not from a man. This is a warning from like a loudspeaker from heaven. They are being warned. It says the midst of heaven. That's not heaven, God's heaven. That's the expression for our atmosphere here, the heavens. So it's amazing when you let this sink in that everybody on earth is going to be warned. They can't claim that they were deceived when God warned them. They are deceived by what the Antichrist is saying, but God warned them, worship me, because I made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water, and here is how you can have eternal life. And the angel is preaching the everlasting gospel. Well, let's go to the second angel. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, these are the people that were worshiping Babylon, the Babylonian system there, the whore of Babylon. So God's bringing it to their attention right now that your religious system, the paganism that you were involved in, is gone. It's been destroyed. And it's being replaced now by another religious system, but it's a one man who claims he's God and he's to be worshipped. So God is telling them, look, you know, Babylon, that great city, has been destroyed. She made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's the people who are receiving this message. The vast majority had been in Babylon. God's bringing it to their attention. I just destroyed your system. Do not go into the mark of the beast. Let's go to the third angel. The third angel, a dire warning, refuse the mark of the beast. Revelation starting at 14:9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now that mark, I believe, is a sign of initiation. That means you're owned, I guess, by the beast, and you're in the system now. It's everybody can see that you are under the mark of the beast, or you're worshiping the beast. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. So God's like complete wrath. It's not cut. It's not like weakened with water. This is pure wrath being poured out now, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they that have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So the mark of the beast means you're giving your life over to the beast, and you're going to worship him, and that mark that be visible on the right hand of the forehead shows that you're under his system, and basically, you know, you're his slave, or he owns you. That's what those marks are. And God has warned them, don't do it. Do not do it. Because it is the worst idolatry. You're going to worship a man and his image, which means like that he's the creator. And I also think in this that the beast is going to offer mankind here assurance of eternal life. And it's going to be done like the people becoming cyborgs. Because his image, I believe the image of the beast, is going to be a cyborg. And he's going to present it as, you know, you'll never die. Your essence will be placed into the cyborg. And then the cyborg, it'll be mechanical for the most part. And if you need if your hand breaks, they'll just replace it with another hand. He's gonna present a type of eternal life, because I do believe that is going to be probably the big draw for them to follow him, because his image is a prototype of it. So, now with that, let's go. And this is a little bit more about the mark of the beast here. And here is the patience of the saint. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and faith in Jesus, and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. So these are the ones that died during the tribulation period, the second half of it, that refuse the mark of the beast. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, we go over to Revelation chapter 15, verse 2. And this here is the chapter, verse 15 and 16 are linked together. And it's about the seven final, they call vial judgments. Now, a vial, the modern word would be a bowl. But what I'm not looking at that right now. I want to look at what happens to those people that die not taking the mark. So Revelation 15:2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now, that sea of glass in heaven is the before the throne of God. It's called the crystal sea of glass. And that's the view now. We're in heaven looking at this crystal sea of glass before God's throne. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, and then verse 15, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Now, I want to bring your attention back to Revelation chapter 6, the fifth seal. And in that seal are those that have died during the tribulation period, and they are calling out to have their blood avenged. They are literally crying out for God to avenge their blood. And they're told to rest a little season until it's finished. Now, that's the first half of the tribulation. Those are the ones that have been killed by the whore of Babylon, drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. But notice here, these saints are they're not under the altar. They're before the throne on the sea of glass. They've been given harps for music. They sing songs completely different now. Those that are saved from not taking the mark of the beast are completely different. They're at peace in heaven. Those under the altar were not at peace. They wanted their blood avenged. And it was avenged right before the Antichrist comes to power, because the political system, his political system, destroys the religious system. And that's when the blood of the martyrs and the saints were avenged. So here they're singing the song of Moses, the servant of the Lamb of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, O King of saints. So let's take a look first at the Song of Moses, which I don't have here. I have it on the other teaching. So hang on and let me switch gears and go to my other teaching, which I have right here. Okay, I just shared about Revelation 15, 2 and 3, and they're singing the song of Moses. Now, wait a second. I'm going to have to go to the scriptures to show it. I did work on this today. It's out of order for some reason. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Let me go over to the Word. And the song of Moses we'll see in Exodus chapter 15. And the children of Israel had just escaped the armies of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's armies were destroyed. And we started verse 1. And they sang Moses, and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. The right hand of the Lord has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed the pieces of the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them. The road that rose up against thee, thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And then it goes on more, but that's what they're singing in heaven to the Lord's great power in destroying his enemies. Now, it also says they sang the song of the Lamb. That's in Revelation chapter 5. Let me turn to Revelation chapter 5. And this is when the Lord was given the scroll or the book in his right hand to unleash the judgments upon the earth. And we get to verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And so that's the song that they're singing now to the Lord in heaven. So those are the two songs that those that have been saved during the second half of the tribulation period. Notice, again, the striking difference between the people that died in the first half of the tribulation compared to those that refused the mark of the beast. They're right before the Lord playing harps and singing the song of Moses and the new song to the Lamb. And there's no witness to them during that period of time. Only everybody is witnessed going into to refuse the beast, which is the mark of the beast, which is taking place during the second half of the tribulation period. So that's the fine tuning of the book of Revelation, how the first half is radically different than the second half. That's really, it's, what's the word? It's not just things happening during the tribulation period. It's not like confusing. It's laid out in a logical manner. So what I'm showing you is the divide now, the warning at the time of the divide, do not take the mark of the beast. Believe in the everlasting gospel. God is the creator. If you take the mark, this is what's going to happen. They're warned. So those that refuse the mark, now we see in heaven at peace. They immediately go to heaven. It's not like in the first half of the tribulation, they go under the altar. Well, they're in heaven, but they're not in the presence of God yet. Before they're not on the crystal sea of glass and all. Until the beast, until the whore of Babylon is destroyed, and then they are set free. Okay, so let me, I want to continue. I have more. However, yeah, okay. I can get back to where I am. I don't know what happened. I think I opened up a wrong file. And now let's go back and let's look at Revelation chapter 15 and about the judgments. Okay, Revelation 15:1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the last seven plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So that wrath that was described in Revelation 14, the cup of his indignation, that's what's in these bowl judgments now. And they're about to be poured out on the earth, but it doesn't end there. It continues during the when these people die with the mark of the beast, they're facing the lake of fire forever. So the wrath that is poured out now is just the beginning. It doesn't end. Revelation 15:6. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. That pure white linen represents righteousness. That's why it's mentioned. These angels are all righteous. Verse 7, and one of the four beasts, those are the four living creatures around God's throne, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. Now, what happened with this is I merged two files, and that's where I got this mix. I know what I did wrong, and I can see the two mixed files right here. So bear with me while I straighten this out. Yeah, and it's interesting here because it says in verse 5, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Now, that tabernacle is the exact place where God's throne is. Now, you can have a temple, like you take Solomon's temple. There was a holy place, and there was a holy holies. Then there was a court outside, and there was like the court of the Gentiles. God's dwelling place would be in the Holy of Holies. That's the tabernacle. So here when it says tabernacle, that's in God's, we'll say, edifice in heaven, and it's where he is existing, his location. And when it says of the testimony, I believe that that's the testimony of Jesus Christ there. So then we go to verse 6, and the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, which I've already read, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Remember, this is his wrath now. And those seven vials are full of his wrath. And God is moved by this because he's dealing with putting an end to man's rebellion that he's God. Remember Satan's lie in Genesis 3? God doesn't want you to eat the fruit because then you'll be like God. See, now what's happening is the conclusion of that, because the people that are alive on earth now are all thinking they're going to be God, maybe like Hinduism type gods, but they think the beast is, man is God. He's created his image. We're all going to live forever. The devil told them, Adam and Eve, you shall surely not die. This is that lie in the garden coming to fruition. And God is upset with it. Because it says, it doesn't say anywhere leading up to this point in the scriptures here, the book of Revelation, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. Yeah, and it says no man was able to enter into the temple. Well, apparently before that you could. I mean, I don't know if the 24 elders are here. It doesn't say. They may not be here. I don't know. And you could see what the devil thinks about all this and the Antichrist in Revelation 13:6. And he opened his mouth, that's the beast, and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. That would be us. So the man of sin is blaspheming the name of Jesus and his tabernacle. The tabernacle is very important here. There's a testimony in it, and that's the very location of the creator of the universe in that tabernacle. And the man of sin is blaspheming against it, hates God, hates everything about Jesus Christ and where he's dwelling. Now, these scriptures here are about the tabernacle as they're found in Hebrews, but I'm not going into that now. Okay, now we're leading right, we go from the end of chapter 15 into 16. Then I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now that great voice, I believe that that's the voice of Jesus Christ. Because he's the one administrating the tribulation period. He's been given that book with the seals on it to unfold it and open it up and let the judgments, the final judgments begin. So that great voice has to be his. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. It has to be him, because he's the one administrating the judgment. And then you come down to the last judgment, which is the great earthquake upon the earth. And that's verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. That's the voice of the Lord, Jesus Christ. He is the one administrating the tribulation period. And we know from Revelation chapter 5 that he's on the throne there. So I have some scriptures connected with that. The great voice, you'll see it in during the Revelation 1:10, chapter 1, verse 10, 11, verse 12, 19:1, 21:3. Deuteronomy talks about a great voice from heaven, and then some other scriptures there. And it is done, Revelation 21:16. So Revelation 16:17 says that the judgments are over. Revelation 21:16 means the teachings from the book of Revelation, it's done, it's complete. There's a little more to add about us seeing the New Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth and things like that. So that, when you look at Revelation 14 and the warning not to take the mark, not to take the mark of the beast, there's nothing other than the judgments. That 3.5 years, there's nothing recorded in it other than the people dying that refuse the mark go to heaven. And you go right in from the mid-tribulation with the warning to 3.5 years later, the final judgments, the vile judgments, the bowl judgments, as they're called. So that's the big picture. That's the structure of the book of Revelation. And everything fits in either the first 3.5 years, the mid, all sorts of things are happening during the mid tribulation. And then you've got the second 3.5 years and the end. But the second 3.5 years, it's void. You go from the mid-tribulation, don't take the mark, to the final judgments here. And then I have the judgments, but I think we're running a little late. And I tell you what, let me get some approval on this. Sister Sharon.
Yes.
Should I stop now, or do you want to hear about the final seven judgments?
Well, we still have an hour, technically, and I would like to hear about
it. Okay. All right. Well, I'm just looking. I don't want to, that overload. I'm concerned about the overload.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
So I don't mind.
How many do you plan on teaching this yet?
Well, I've got the seven judgments go pretty fast.
Right.
So, and the seven judgments end with the second coming of the Lord.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. So I'm ready to go.
Yeah, well, I would say give it a try. And if things are hard for people to understand and everything, well, just go back over it again.
All right. Well, as I'm showing this here, are you understanding it?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I really am.
Okay. So let's get back to the, we'll start with Revelation 16 and the seven judgments. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there was a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had taken the mark of the beast and upon them that worshipped his image. Now, I want to, the word noisome, we don't use that today, but it means depraved, injurious, grievous. So this is nasty. This something is being nasty poured out upon the people of the earth. And grievous sore, you know, again. I'm sorry. Depraved and injurious is noisome. Grievous means diseased, ill, malicious. So this is a nasty sore. There we go. Now look at that. Those which have taken the mark of the beast. Now this becomes, we can't like kind of overlook this, because this is before, there is a lead in time with these vials, with the bowl judgments, because the armies are being gathered together to come to Armageddon to fight the day of the Lord. So I don't know how much time that is, but when they gather and they're marching to Armageddon, they're all marching there with this horrible sore on them. They must be like in agony coming to that battle against the Lord Jesus Christ and his armies. Do you see that, Sharon?
Yes, I can absolutely. I can envision that.
Yes. It's very.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So they're being tormented. Like hell is starting here on earth for them.
Right. Absolutely.
So it looks like it's just one sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them that worshiped his image. So here they're being called. All the earth is being called now to come to Armageddon, and they're all coming with this depraved, injurious disease sore on them, extremely painful.
Right.
Wow. That really adds to them gathering at Armageddon too. They're going to be insane with hatred and anger and pain and depravity and all that. I mean, because they're coming, they hate the Lord to start off with. And now they're coming with this, they're coming diseased, like leprosy or something on them.
Right.
Verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Verse 4 ties in with this. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains and the waters, and they became blood. Now, the ecosystem on the earth is dying at this point. And there's a reason for it, not only in judgment, but God, at the second coming of the Lord, is going to completely redo the geography of the earth and the ecosystem of the earth.
Right.
So this isn't just, that's not the end of it. It's God's getting ready for the whole new ecosystem on earth. So all the water on earth is going to be polluted, and it's going to become as the blood of a dead man. Verse 5.
Yuck.
And I heard the angel of the waters saying, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and which shall be, because thou hast judged thus. So the angel that's judged the waters is telling God, you're righteous to do this. You know, everything that God does is righteous. Verse 6, for they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. So this is them getting what they deserved. From the Whore of Babylon through the reign of the beast, they have been killing God's people and shedding continual blood. So the angel here are saying God is righteous because they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And Revelation 18:24 says, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. So they're getting what they deserve. They're coming with trying to drink water that's like a dead man's blood. And then they've got this horrible, horrible mark on them. It might, the mark might be exactly where the mark of the beast was playing, placed on the right hand of the forehead. That's probably where grievous sore is. Noisome sore.
And now, I read somewhere that a lot of this pain and everything is because it's so hot in the deserts and stuff, and it was very hard for them to tolerate it.
Well, without water, it's we can tolerate a lot of dry heat if we have water. You know, if we don't have water, I mean, we just the blood gets really thick and you die.
Right.
All right, Revelation 16:8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Yeah, global warming is coming, all right. It's going to be done by God's judgment. Now, when you go to Isaiah 24, and I think I have it here. Yeah, I got it here. It tells what's going to be happening at that time, and also 2 Peter 3:7. So I'll get to those verses, but let's read verse 9 here. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. At this point, I would say they probably weren't able to repent. They're so hardened. They took the mark of the beast. They've got this noisome sore on them. They can't drink. What they drink, it's repulsive, it's awful. So 2 Peter 3:7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. So that fire here that Book of Revelation is talking about, the fourth vial, it's stored. It's ready to go. God has it ready for judgment against them. And then Isaiah also is talking about what's happening on earth at this time. And the earth is also defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenants. So that's the ones that have taken the mark of the beast. They have broken all God's laws, and it says change the ordinance. They've changed everything that God has set up to worship the beast in his image. And God told them the everlasting covenant, the salvation through Jesus Christ, and they didn't want it. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. 24:19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. Everything we're reading here is God is destroying the old structure. I mean, everything about man is being destroyed here. Cities, the roads, the towns, bridges. I mean, everything's going, folks. Everything. This is a cleaning process by God.
Right.
It's amazing when you, if you look at it, oh, it's just utter destruction and all that. Not well, yeah, it's destruction, but God is getting ready. He's setting the earth up for the coming of Jesus Christ to rule on earth from Jerusalem. He's going to sit as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in Jerusalem. So the mountains are coming down. The earth is reeling to and fro like a drunkard. The oceans are sloshing back and forth. Islands are disappearing. The heat is so intense, it's dissolving the earth. So this is a big cleaning process. It's like the earth is in a washing machine. And you got the agitator that goes back and forth. Well, that's what's happening here. And then I guess the Lord dries it out with this tremendous heat from the sun.
It just sounds just amazing to think of all this stuff happening. And I think Chaplain John, just all the little minor things that have been going on lately with towns and the floods and the fires and everything, we've had so much minor issues going on. It's hard to imagine it getting worse.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going
this is
to.
Nothing. This is
really
nothing.
Going to.
I mean, when the earth starts to reel to and fro like a drunkard, you've got the oceans now. And look at the ocean as like, you know, those pools that three, 4 year olds play in during the summer? They're like,
Oh, yeah.
Well, take a picture of, or a mental picture of, you know, two men on either side of it, and one lifts it up, and the water goes quickly over to the other side. Then the other one lifts it up, and do that back and forth. The waves in that little pool get really big, and they come over the top of the pool outside of it. Well, that's what's going to happen with the ocean. You get the Pacific Ocean, and the earth turns one way, and the water sloshes the other way, and then the earth comes back the other way, and the water goes, the ocean we're talking about. And the tsunamis going inland could be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles inland.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Everything's being gone. It's being washed like an agitator in a washing machine.
Right.
And then after that's over, the sun is scorching the earth, and the mountains, the big earthquakes, the mountains are coming down. All the cities are gone. Everything is gone. Revelation 16:10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. That's the political center. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed at their tongues for pain. And verse 11, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. Now here it's plural sores. So that that may have been more than one sore. I mean, it says it's sores. Their sores. Well, that may be plural. Well, anyways, and repented not of their deeds. But I want to focus on full of darkness, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Revelation 8:12, and the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And notice how this here darkness is full of pain when you get down to verse 11 also.
Yeah.
Because of their pains and their sores. When it says in verse 10, their kingdom was full of darkness, what that means is God's light, his presence is removed. Because when it talks about outer darkness here in Matthew 8:12, that's where the lake of fire is. And the darkness means that there's no presence of God in it. There's no presence at all. And it's pain. They're in pain from the absence of the presence of God in this darkness. This darkness is like, it says here, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. So that outer darkness means there's no presence of God in it. The Holy Spirit is empowering it, I guess you could say, the outer darkness, the lake of fire. But it's complete darkness, no light, because light represents God. It's just complete absence of God. It's called the outer darkness. So they got a taste of it here. They've got a taste in Revelation 16, 10 and 11 of coming hell. Well, it's actually not hell. It's the lake of fire. Matthew 22, 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 25:30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So outer darkness means that. It's not like a night darkness. It's a darkness from the absence of God's presence there. Verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. All right. And here's the river Euphrates. It's a picture of Iraq and Syria. And the river, you can clearly see it here. It's the Euphrates River. So the armies are coming from the north there in the east, and they're coming right across through Jordan, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, and right to Israel. That's where the armies will gather, just north of Jerusalem.
Okay.
And I saw three unclean spirits like a frog come out of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So it's telling us the great day of God Almighty is the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's why they're being gathered there for the great day, the battle of the great day is the day of the Lord, the day of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Revelation 16:16, and he gathered them together in a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And you can't quite see it here. I'm going to have to get arrows. But if you can see the cursor here, this is where Armageddon is, right here. Can you see it, Sharon?
I don't see the map right now.
Oh, okay. If you can follow me, this is Armageddon right here.
Yeah, it just came up. Yeah.
Okay. And if you come down, right here is where Jerusalem is, right here.
Oh, okay.
So it's like 60 miles, I believe. So the all the armies of the world are going to gather right here.
Wow. You know, and if it's only 60 miles... That's
Jerusalem.
Not a lot of room right. for how many people, how many armies there are.
Yes.
There are. Wow.
Yes. Revelation 16:7. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven. And I showed you this already, from the throne, saying, "It is done." So the gathering for the battle of the great day, God Almighty. And verse 17 says, it is done. So this is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Verse 18, and there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And that's when I believe the oceans are with that earthquake. You know, the earth is reeling right to and fro from the earthquake. Maybe not. Maybe it's not from the earthquake. But anyways, this earthquake is so powerful. The mountains disappear. The islands disappear. And that's God redoing the earth. And the great city was divided in three parts. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, that's 140 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague, and the hail and the plague thereof was exceedingly great. All right, that'll do it for tonight. We got the big picture there. God doesn't want to address anything during those 3.5 years, those second 3.5 years. He wants to get it over with. I think it's like, if it can, because I don't want to be taken wrong on this, but I think the last 3.5 years, when it's total paganism, because that's what worshiping the beast is, paganism, and the image of the beast and all that, I don't know if it's right to say it's painful to God. It could be painful with his creation and rebellion like this. It could be an abomination to him. That's in our terminology, it's turning his stomach, you know, but he doesn't talk about it in the word. Plenty about the whore of Babylon, but nothing about the second 3.5 years. He's silent about it, other than the final judgments. He mentions the people in heaven that have refused the mark of the beast. And the only other thing he does is the seven vials, the seven bowl judgments lined up. So I think it's repulsive to him, just putting it in a human sense, a repulsive vial. We know his wrath, what he said about his wrath is poured out into the cup of his indignation. Yeah, indignation. So it's like, I may be wrong, but it's like painful for him to, even though it's 3.5 years, which is a nanosecond in his time, to have to endure looking at that. So he doesn't mention it. He skips right from the warning right to the judgments.
I don't think we got much longer for it all to happen.
Yeah, God's going to do a great work before. There's going to be a great, you know how, now listen, I'm just thinking of this right now. I shared with you the warning that God gives before the tribulation period. And I think the same warning is going to happen before the whole tribulation period. In other words, there's going to be a great revival that's going to come out. And that great revival is going to sweep hundreds of millions into the kingdom. So there'll be a great revival just before the tribulation period starts, because the people that go into the tribulation period are either going to worship the whore of Babylon or be murdered, apparently violently.
Right.
So just before the image of the mark of the beast is initiated in the second half of the tribulation period, God warns the whole earth again. He sends the three angels from heaven. So I'm just thinking about that right now for the first time. I believe that God is going to send a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the people will get swept up into heaven and will not go through the tribulation period, just like he warned the people not to take the mark of the beast before the second half of the tribulation.
Right.
All right. So let's see what we have here and any questions and comments. All right. Sister. Sharon?
I just want to say that the person who is talking to you while you were doing all this is the person who was scared to death of the Book of Revelation when she was an 8-year-old child.
Oh, you're talking about you. Okay. It took me a little while to pick up on that because I said there was no one talking to me. Maybe it might be the Holy Spirit, but there's no one.
Right.
So I'm going, who is she talking about?
Yeah. Well, it isn't, but I'm going to be truthful with you right now, Chaplain John. I never studied the Book of Revelation until I started listening to you. I mean, that's a lot of years.
Amen. Amen.
And I thank you for that.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you're blessed. And when you focus on Jesus in this and the fact that we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, it changes your whole perception there.
Yes, yes.
We're at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen. I hear you. And with my goal right now is to make sure that other people in my family aren't scared of Revelation.
Well, that's nice. Well, when we get into prayer, bring that up, and we'll pray for them. I want to show you an outstanding verse from the Bible. That it's like hidden, but wow, is it powerful? And it has, and of all places, it's in Revelation 17, and it involves, of course, that's the Whore of Babylon. So it's talking about everything that's happening in here in Revelation 17. And then you look at the change. Now, when the political system rises up against the religious system, and then verse 13, Revelation 17:13. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. That's the kings of the earth. They're going to kill the whore, and they're going to all together in one accord, going to give all their power to the beast. And that's where he becomes all powerful. But look at verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. These are the kings of the earth, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Now, here's where we come in. And they that are with him, see, the church, the bride is coming with him. It's so clear in this verse. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So Revelation 19 says the Lord is returning with the armies of heaven. That's his
Amen.
Church. That's his church.
Yep.
And here, right in the middle of this chapter about the Whore of Babylon and what's happening with the whore, it says the Lord's returning and they're going to make war against him. And he shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him at his coming are called, are chosen, and are faithful. That's his bride.
Amen. I really enjoy hearing this.
Okay. So let me see here if we've got any questions and comments. Gigi and Randy, any questions and comments?
I don't have any questions. Do you have a question, Randy?
No question.
Oh, he doesn't have a question, but I was just going to tell you, I really could listen to this again. I really like it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, you know, I've said this to you so many times, but it's like we're walking through scripture together and you get to ask questions and, you know, I can hear what Sharon has to say or other people have to say. And, specifically this part of the book of Revelation, I just think it's so clear and it's so interesting what's actually going on. And to have you repeat it makes it so much more memorable, I guess, what I would have to say. It's not just like racing through it. And so I really appreciate that. And even hearing it again, it's fun because I know what the scripture says, but then you're going to tell us if that makes sense to you. But I think it makes sense to Sharon. But I appreciate that. We both do. It's very, very interesting.
Well, I was going to say, Gigi, it's just like an example of that. Would be like if we're walking through Revelation with Chaplain John, keep teaching it, and we would get those horrible sores on our feet trying to walk.
No, I don't get horrible sores on my feet, but I'm just saying I just really like it because you made it very, very clear, and I liked it that you repeated it. And you know, the book of Revelation is very audacious because it says, if you read me, you get a blessing.
Ooh, I meant to open up with that. I forgot to do that. So, well, you get the blessing anyways.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll be teaching this next Wednesday. The people will be hearing it for the first time.
Oh, that's good.
In my salon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're happy you practiced on us.
Years ago, I never put together. Years ago, I never put together that in Revelation 16, when the armies are marching to Armageddon, they're in agony with these. I don't know if it's a sore or sores over them, and they're marching in utter darkness with the gnawing at them and incredible pain.
Yeah.
I mean, they're starting to experience the pains of hell. The lake of fire.
I never thought about that before.
I never did either until going over this, you know, and seeing it. Wow, look at this. They've received the mark of the beast and they got this horrible sore on them, something dreadful. And then they're in utter darkness and it's like tearing at them and it's all this pain. So they're refusing to repent. So they're in all this agony and they're cursing God every step they're taking.
Oh, yeah. It's just so interesting. And all this is happening in our face.
Yeah, the forces are lining up. It's a ways off yet. It's a ways off yet, but it's coming. It's coming.
Yes.
Thank you, John.
All right.
Amen.
Okay, Paula Jean, any comments or questions? Oh, and anybody, if you have a comment or question, call in. 717-409-5553. And, you know, you're welcome. If you have any questions or comments. Yeah, Paula Jean?
I think you're doing a wonderful job and making a record for people so that, you know, if they want to share something with a family member, we can come back and listen and discuss.
Yeah, I have and that. I
go
have
your
that.
References. You know, your references are great too.
Yeah, Paula Jean, if you go to mctteachingvideo.com, that whole Revelation teaching is there.
Easy to link to. That's excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. But it's right there in your face about the noisome, grievous sore and the pangs of outer darkness. And all those years and all the teaching I did never associated with that army gathering at Armageddon. They must be insane with pain and old. They've been like in hell. They literally have been in hell in the outer darkness. And that grievous score on them that took the mark of the beast.
Right.
All right, Sister Kathy.
Yeah, it's a crazy question, but is there any significance to the fact where it says Babylon has fallen?
Now, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm wrestling with, well, here, let me turn to the scripture and then I'll tell you what I'm wrestling about. I'm going to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Well, that's been destroyed when the political system destroys the religious system. The religious system is centered in Babylon. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city. So if they've destroyed, here, verse 16, and the ten horns, that's the political system, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And that woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. In Revelation 17:5, the woman is referred to as Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. So that city is destroyed by the political system. The center of the religious system of the world is this Babylon, which is some great city. And the classic talk of it is Rome, but it reigns over the kings of the earth. So it's destroyed. That religious system is destroyed. Now, when you go to Revelation 18, it talks about the economic Babylon. And that's destroyed.
Well, there you go.
That's destroyed. But my thinking, and I don't know what others are, my thinking was that city was destroyed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. But that city is referred to as Babylon, the economic. So in Revelation 17, 18, it's talking about the religious system, the great city being destroyed. Revelation 18 is talking about that great city being destroyed. So I think they're both destroyed together at mid-tribulation. And then when the beast takes power, that economic system that was not under his control is now brought under his control by the mark of the beast.
Right.
You follow?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yes. And then, but it also talks about another Babylon being destroyed, and that is the political system, the Antichrist's throne, the beast throne. But so when you were talking about, and Babylon, say that again, Sister Kathy, in Revelation 14.
Well, just that it said it had fallen.
Right. So the first fallen is the religious.
Yep.
The second fallen is the economic. And then with Christ coming, the third section falls. And that's where the military is and the political is and all. So
that's perfect.
Yeah. What I'm thinking of doing is moving Revelation 18 from the end of the tribulation to the mid-tribulation. So when the beast comes to power, there is no economic system rivaling him. There's no religious system rivaling him. It's all under him. And that's why he applies the mark of the beast when he comes to power.
Wow.
Yeah, but
well, that was the only,
I've been looking at
only
that
question
for,
I had.
Well, I've been looking at that for a while, Sister Kathy, too.
Mm-hmm.
say what I just said.
Yeah, because I know when it says when he repeats himself, which, you know, this would be considered him. Like if he says Martha, Martha, or Saul, Saul, that is significant, but that bears out exactly, you know, that just bears out.
Well, remember the sequence of it. That sequence is mid-tribulation when religious Babylon has just been destroyed and the angels in heaven saying, you know, Babylon the Great has fallen. They're telling the people, your system was destroyed. And then the next one is about don't take the new system that's coming. Right. And worship, don't go from the whore of Babylon to worshiping the beast.
All right.
And then we have Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. I was blessed by your teaching, as always.
Okay.
And I had no questions.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, looking here, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, we went through that hour pretty good.
Yep. So that that has me ready now because it's compacted into like 45 minutes.
Right.
In there, so I can juggle this around for 45. Put it in a nice order in 45 minutes. It goes very fast. When I go up there to the on the pulpit to teach, you know, it's like seven. It's like just at seven, and they have a little introduction, so it's seven. It's like just 7:05, and I'm teaching, and I look, and next thing you know, it's 20 minutes too. You know, it goes very fast, very fast.
Oh yeah.
Don't you ever watch?
So, okay. Sister Sharon, what we'll do is you I tell you what. Let's go to Guy Pinrod and the Revelation Soul.
Yes, we can. And while you're looking for that, I would like to ask everybody here in Abba Father to pray for Susie. Her and her husband are going to be traveling tomorrow. You know, not too far, but there's a lot of weather possibilities up in the Chicago area. So she sent me a note asking for people to pray. So we're going to pray for Susie while she's traveling tomorrow.
Okay. Well, let's do that right now. Father, we pray for Suzanne, and she asked for protection traveling. So, Lord, we're asking that your angels would be camped about her and her vehicle as they're traveling and would be safe, Lord. A complete safe trip there and back, Lord. And may you bless all our travelings, Lord. All traveling safely, Lord, to our destination and back. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And
amen.
Lord, we bring Pastor Zephaniah before you. And all that's happened, Lord, the Muslims rose up. And I don't know how many people in the church, but at least several were beaten so bad they had to go to the hospital. I think Pastor Zephaniah said he had to go to the hospital. And that their equipment was stolen. Lord, it's a temporary setback, but I ask that there'll be a double portion of your power when this gets up running now, Lord. We will recover from this in your name. In the name of Jesus, we will recover. Behold, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So that door is open, Lord. And this is hindrance from Satan, and it will not succeed, and we're coming back double portion of your power. Thank you now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Chaplain John.
Okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
All right. God bless everybody.
And God bless you too.
We'll see you tomorrow morning for prayer. There's no streaming on Friday nights. You have to call in 717-409-5553, 9 p.m. Eastern. Sister Sharon and Kathy and others are there, and they keep praying till it's all prayed out. So God bless you. And Saturday night, then we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So God bless you now.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood bought gift. Hear our cry.